Living Wisely, Commentary for the August 26, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. Proverbs 15:21. Over the past week, we've had several wildfires in the Spokane area. One even required the evacuation of a community of about 5,000 people. Almost 200 buildings were lost. Six of our friends lost homes, and perhaps more that we do not yet know about. The winds drove the fire so rapidly that people had little time to evacuate, and many turned their animals loose, hoping they could survive better, if not confined. A few have already managed to be reunited with their lost animals. I do not know the fate of the hapless cow in the picture that accompanies the written copy of this commentary this week, but my heart breaks for the scale of the tragedy for man and beast. As I write this, many areas are still burning, and the people who live in those areas have yet to be allowed to return to their homes to see if they are still standing or among the many burned to the ground. We are not alone in facing wildfire tragedies. Yellowknife, the capital of Northwest Territory in Canada, was threatened, and the entire community of 20,000 people were evacuated. Kelowna, British Columbia, with a population of over 150,000, has also been fighting fires approaching that city. Canada has a record wildfire season this year, and family members of ours have lost their homes to the fires there. The application AirNow tracks the breathability of the air from good to hazardous on a scale of 1 to 500. The quality of the air here reached deep into the hazardous area at 489. It has since dropped into the unhealthy area at 163. While an improvement, that is still very bad. Despite that, even when the indicator was almost at 500, some were out mowing their lawns and going for walks. We had to make an emergency medication run to the pharmacy, and even though they were still readily available post-pandemic, we saw no one wearing any sort of mask other than us. One person even jokingly asked me if I was afraid of a little bit of smoke. They do not understand that when homes burn, microscopic asbestos and fiberglass fibers are released into the air. Once breathed into our lungs, they don't usually come back out. Unfortunately, during the COVID pandemic, wearing masks became so politicized that many are afraid to wear them for fear they will be associated with an opposing political party. Their health takes second place behind their political allegiance. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I did not appreciate how such incidental exposures could later affect my health. Now in my 70s, the cumulative effects of all of that are telling. But like those who are young and full of energy and fail to heed those with experience about such things, I didn't listen either. It seems every generation is doomed to repeat the mistakes of the previous one, but still believes they are doing things better compared to those who went before. It doesn't have to be that way. The Bible presents a clear picture of our condition if we are willing to search its pages. It says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Too many are wise in their own minds, and even if their path takes them to the grave, they will not change course. Despite the seemingly endless number of homes torn apart by alcohol, some still eagerly pursue that addiction and other, even worse addictions, from childhood on, believing that such social lubricants are necessary for a happy and productive life. Despite all the cases of cancer associated with its use, too many also feel their persona is inextricably tied to the use of tobacco products, even to the extent of being offended if others complain about the threat of passive tobacco smoke to their health. They feel that it is not the tobacco use that is being challenged, but that an attack is directed at them as a person. For the Christian, these things should not be. The Bible teaches us that we are the special creation of God, made to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. That presence desires the best possible life for each of us. To that end, we are encouraged to live cleanly as much as possible to assist the Spirit. One person put it like this: when we buy a new automobile, we are free to do with it as we wish. We can throw away the owner's manual and never do the scheduled maintenance the manual tells us to do. We can ignore checking the oil or the water. Instead, we just have the fun of driving it until it breaks. When that happens, we may or may not be able to repair it. If we can, it will probably be far more expensive than those oil changes would have cost had we kept the manual and followed its guidance. We come with a manual also. It is the Bible. It is filled with common sense guidelines about how to live, taking care of ourselves, and how to live with others. We can ignore it. We have the freedom to do that. But it could mean a life of costly mistakes. When we reach old age, should we be so fortunate, we may find ourselves like that car, broken, maybe beyond repair, and without the physical or financial ability to carry on with the style of life we chose to live. In that event, our golden years may become dross, with our carefree lifestyle replaced with feelings of depression and helplessness. We may have felt that lifestyle represented freedom, but instead it led us right to where we find ourselves, without freedom or options. The Bible promises better. Christ says he offers real freedom. He tells us that the truth is the way to be free. Deceiving ourselves into believing we can ignore any restraints on our behavior to be free only leads to despair. Being honest with ourselves and facing the truth about our behavior brings greater freedom than succumbing to unhealthy habits ever will. But what if we don't understand or cannot see truth so we can make those changes? Jesus says he is the truth, not a truth, but the truth. That implies that if we are to be truthfully honest with ourselves, it must begin there. One of the most important questions we can ask ourselves is, who are we trying to please? If I am only trying to please myself, do I really have the power to ensure the attainment of that? If I am trying to please others, could they provide it, or do they even care to? If Jesus is the truth, then these other options will ultimately reveal themselves false. Jesus tried to reach Pontius Pilate before he had him crucified. He revealed that those who choose truth follow him. But jaded by a lifetime of people-pleasing and self-gratification, Pilate challenged the whole idea of truth. We do the same today. Because our lifestyles lead us astray, we lose the ability to believe that truth even exists. Instead, we believe everyone has their own truth, that in a world of 8 billion people, there are 8 billion truths, all equally valid. But there is one universal truth, and that truth is God is love. That is why Jesus is the truth. He was a physical embodiment of that truth. It was a loving character of God that placed him here. It was the will of a loving God that placed him on the cross to restore the loving relationship with humanity that was lost in Eden. It is a loving will of God that overlooks our transgressions to make it possible for us to approach him, to reforge that link of love we were made to embrace. For our part, we have only to recognize we have been on a wrong path to nowhere. Then we can claim that same forgiveness and embrace the greatest love known to mankind. Then we can walk in truth and light. There is a lot of pain in life. Walking in truth will also reveal that truth to us. The temptation is to drown that pain in pleasure-seeking and addictions. It does not work. Eventually, the pleasures come to an end. The alcohol or drugs dissipate. We are left not only with the earlier pain, but additional pain brought about by our attempts to flee it. The soporific effects of our refusal to acknowledge pain as a part of life leave us unable to see or understand healthier ways of dealing with pain. But despite that, God never stops loving us and will reach into our delusions with his love. He can pull a child that will love him out of an abusive home and build those bonds of love that will save them from the consequences of that brokenness. He replaces fear with hope pain with healing, and provides a future that will break the cycle of generational trauma. I know, because I was that child. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas shared in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, as well as books written by the author of this commentary, at that website. Again, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.